look at the areas of your life, look at your career, your relationships, your education, lifestyle, health and fitness. Those are the five areas I kind of lay out when I go to goal setting and figure out what direction I need to go in.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential. Jacob Craig is a researcher and the author of Inspiring Leaders in Health and Fitness. He studies the motivations, habits, and mindsets of some of the world's top self-development experts, including Eric Thomas, Mike Matthews, and Ben Greenfield. Jacob inspires others to develop healthy habits, set clear intentions, and achieve their goals. Hi, Jacob Craig. How are you?
Hey, Ebony. I'm great. How are you?
Great. I'm excited to talk to you. You're a blogger and an author, and you help people improve their habits to really just improve their lives, their overall well-being. And I kind of want to first start off with, how did you gain some interest in self-improvement? When did this start for you?
So that's tough to pinpoint really when it came about. I really didn't start focusing on it until I was getting out of college. I heard a motivational speech from somebody and it really connected with me, and I wanted to dig into more. So then I asked a couple people and they recommended looking at Eric Thomas. So I looked into Eric Thomas, was very motivated by him, found Jocko Willink, and he's also a motivational speaker. And so getting to know them and the tips that they have for, and that led me down the path of health and fitness, and realizing that all those areas, health, fitness, motivation, success, they all intermingle in that personal development space. And I've really, found it so fulfilling and just want to share that information and, just to help somebody get that same realization or to, motivate them to start developing themselves and finding that same value, same fulfillment in that is really my purpose behind everything I'm doing. So
that's so interesting. So when, after you started to listen to these speakers like Eric Thomas, who I've never heard of, by the way, he's a motivational speaker?
He's a huge motivational speaker who really, I think, built his foundation through YouTube. So he's a YouTuber, but probably 5-10 years ago, and he's really blown up, and he's huge, like as big as like Tony Robbins, if you know the name Tony Robbins, that scale. Like he's very, very popular, and he has his podcast, The Secret to Success, is how I found him first. He's just a very, just talking to entrepreneurs and opening people's minds to, being fulfilled in life and motivating them in whatever path they choose. So
when you started to listen to people like Eric Thomas and was it more of the message that really drew you in, or was it more of how he was presenting the message? Was it more about him and his image or what he was doing?
I guess the energy and the fact that, learning from these people, they're putting out so much free information and you can just feel like all they want to do is give value to you. And that's the powerful, powerful thing. No matter what level of content creator you are, whether you're an author, a musician, an artist, even if you're a video game streamer that I see nowadays, people connect with the person behind it. So nowadays, with podcasts and the way you can stream really anything nowadays, it's really amazing. And it gives another level of connecting with a content creator, like an author. You're not just reading a book and don't get to know the author behind the book, and being able to really understand these people and see that they're just trying to give as much value to as many people as possible. I really connected with that. And that's basically, I got to a point in my life where, I was learning enough where I felt I could contribute and You know, like I said, I'm really just trying to share that information so it reaches more people in hopes that they get the same value that I did from it. And that's really what it's all about, and just trying to give that same value back to people. So yeah, my first book is focused on leaders in health and fitness. It's called Inspiring Leaders in Health and Fitness because I was at a bad spot, at least in my eyes, with my health and fitness. And having an ideal body kind of was an important goal for me to pursue. So I really wanted to find the best way to do that and start looking at leaders in that space. Just like I was looking at Eric Thomas and Jocko Willink and the motivation and success, then I started, you know, thinking about what's important to me and what are my goals that I want to reach for, and sharing that information as well.
Yeah. Okay. So that you kept saying some keywords. You kept saying connecting, and you kept saying value, giving value. So when you were introduced to these motivational speakers, is that, were you at the time thinking, I also want to better my health? Or was it after having heard these speakers that you started to realize that you really valued your health? Because it sounds like after listening to these speakers, you started to understand what your values were.
Right. So it kind of just all played in together. Like I said, I was at a point where I was just getting unhappy. When I was in high school and whatnot, I didn't really have to think twice about what I was eating and what I was doing. And then I was, you know, creeping up to a weight where I just wasn't comfortable, and I was working out a little bit. I felt like I wasn't eating, you know, horribly, and I wanted to figure out how to, you know, find a diet and exercise plan that could fit my lifestyle and where I could, you know, work on improving myself in that area. And so I just, I was heavily influenced by Eric Thomas. He has somebody who he talks to for nutrition, and that's the first person that's featured in my book, is Sean Stevenson. And he's been at the top of health and fitness podcasts since podcasts really started. And it's amazing that he's still, you know, number one, or, you know, number one to three in the charts pretty much at all times. And just has an insane amount of content to be able to delve into. So I knew he'd be a great person to start out with general health. And then from there, just listening to the other people that he interviewed and the other people in his circle and figuring out who I connect with, as well as, you know, trying to find as much variety in diets and exercise plans. So I looked at people who are focused on muscle building. I looked at people who are focused on vegetable-based diets, you know, really the whole picture, and then into physical therapists and mobility and things like that. So I really just tried to get the biggest picture I could so that I could find what fits my lifestyle, as well as help inform other people with, you know, finding a diet and exercise plan that could work for them.
Yeah. So let's talk about more of the diet and exercise, because when you started to change your lifestyle as far as dieting, did you at any point, or did that entail kind of getting to the root of why you had arrived at this place where you felt out of shape? Was there, in other words, did you find that you were doing some emotional eating, or there was some like emotional issue underneath the body image?
I think for me, what it was I simply wasn't doing enough, and I wasn't able to see that until I really dug in and saw, you know, how much goes into it. And it really is a complex thing to find something that works for you. That's why there's so many people with different views and different things. And to really find something that connects with you is not an easy task. And a lot of people just, you know, find one person they connect with and get all their health and fitness advice from them. And I think it's important to kind of, and it's impossible to take everybody I wrote about and, you know, take all their advice. And you really need to, you know, choose who fits your lifestyle more and go in that direction. But you can get little tips and tricks from each and every one of them. You know, it goes into sleep habits and things like that. And yeah, for me, like I said, it's like I said, so intermingled with motivation. And a lot of it is, you know, adhering to a program. What's going to be a program that works for me and works for my lifestyle? So yeah, I think that's the biggest part, was getting that motivation piece. And that's why I'm always studying people in the motivation and success space, as well as health and fitness.
Mm-hmm. I know I asked that question because it was so funny. I was looking at pictures, not even from that long ago, maybe like 10 years ago. I was like showing them to a friend and he was like, oh, you lost a lot of weight. And I was kind of insulted, honestly, but then I like looked at the pictures and I said, well, yeah, I guess I have lost some weight. And I just recently, maybe for about a year, I started juicing and exercising daily, which I know has probably contributed to that. But even so, just thinking back to thinking back 10 years ago and even thinking about now how I eat, when I get stressed, I love sugar. Like I just have to have sugar. It's nothing I don't even really think about. I'm just kind of I'm addicted to it. And so I started to tune in to habits that I had to develop that I didn't even know I had developed that would contribute to some of my personal weight gain.
Yeah, no, that's a huge, huge, huge thing is, you know, building those small habits, you know, a little bit over time and, you know, creating those daily habits for yourself that help you improve. And then down the line, you don't even know how you got to this point. And even with, you know, things outside of that, with my career, you know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't be able to say I'd be in the career that I'm in. I'm actually a construction manager, engineer, and I just write on the side. And 5 years ago, I couldn't have said that I'd be an author. So, you know, being able to work on that myself and being able to, you know, you start down one path and it helps in all different areas. And it's amazing where it leads to if you're, you know, if you start focusing on that personal development and, you know, it's amazing where it can take you.
Yes. I think personal development is such a huge part of just spiritual growth. And I know for myself, I didn't really start looking into personal development until I was in my late 20s after like a really bad breakup. But I've made it a part of my life since then because it's something that it's continuous, right? It's not like you can just read one book one time and then feel like you're fixed forever. Well, not fixed, but you know, like okay forever. I mean, it's a continuous education, the self-development and self-growth.
Yeah. And everything we're doing, every time you're trying to further yourself in your career, your education, it's all personal development. And you need to, you know, be able to hold yourself accountable and reflect on where you're at so you know where you need to improve the most. And it's just a constant, you know, whether people realize it and are conscious of it or not, it's an important thing to everybody to, you know, and it's opening people's eyes to that is what's difficult because I feel like the term self-help is so as a negative connotation. Yeah. But if we just realize that we're all a work in progress and we have things that we need to improve on, we just start working on those things. And like I said, hold yourself accountable, realize where you're at, what can use most improvement. And it's amazing what you're able to achieve if you just, you know, reflect and then, you know, work on those things.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I laugh when you said that, like self-improvement, a lot of people just kind of make fun of it or like, because I was watching this, I think it's, one of the Sex and the City movies, or maybe it was one of the episodes or something. Like you could tell my age now. I'm like talking about Sex and the City, but there was this one scene where they were in a bookstore, and there were all these women were in the self help section, like sitting on the floor reading these books, crying their eyes out. Right? I mean, there's just stigma on self help being for women and being like this highly emotional thing that you do. Right.
Yeah. It makes me think of the Friends episode where Chandler's listening to the motivation self-help tape of the "You're a beautiful woman, you're an empowering woman." So he wakes up with that in his mind. He's all feminine. It's hilarious. Hilarious. But no, it's so true. Like I said, just the word self-help and trying to find, I think the best word for it really is personal development and trying to form that language, I think is really something we could work on in this space so people realize that it's not just for people who need help or need to seek help. It's really for everybody so that they can work on being a better person each day. Because, you know, for me, it's the realization that life is short and that, like I said, we're all a work in progress. There's always things that we can be working on. So you just take the small steps and realize, you know, look at the areas of your life, look at your career, your relationships, your education, lifestyle, health and fitness. Those are the five areas I kind of lay out when I go to goal setting and figure out what direction I need to go in. And like I said, you start working one direction, it trickles over to everything else.
Yeah. Go over those five areas again. Can you say
that
again?
Yep. Relationships, education, health and fitness. Lifestyle. Career, relationships, education, health and fitness, and lifestyle. Sorry, sometimes order I get wrong and stuff like that. But yeah, that's actually taken from Warren Buffett's two-list method. This is something that I started doing based on a book that I read from one of the health and fitness people that I wrote about in my book, which is Michael Matthews, in his book, The Little Black Book of Workout Motivation. And it's really not just about workout motivation. It's all about goal setting and challenges we can do to really push ourselves and help develop ourselves. So again, that book is The Little Black Book of Workout Motivation. And in part of it, he goes over Warren Buffett's, he calls it the two-list strategy, where essentially you look at those five areas of your life, you write down, you take the time, reflect, and write down 25 goals that you have. And then you cross out 20 of them, find the five that are most important to you. Doesn't have to be five from each category, but just find the five that you want to focus on. And so I always keep the list of the five goals I currently have with me. You know, I keep the book I'm reading currently with me, so I keep that list in there. So each day I look at it, and to keep those goals on top of your mind is huge. So just a simple way to just start goal setting and start working in some direction. And you need to realize that, you know, you don't want to start with 25 goals because you're never really going to get anywhere. You need some focus. And as Michael Matthews puts it, is you only have so many burners on the stove. Yeah. You know, if you try to use two stoves and cook all these things, do all these things at the same time, you're going to end up burning something. You're not going to get, you know, anywhere with it. So
yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about goal setting. I kind of like that when you start with 25, which seems like an overwhelming number, but that's I think that's the point. It's just kind of have a lot so that you can easily scratch off things that or narrow it down. Is that like the primary goal setting exercise that you suggest to people?
That's what I recommend, just because that's what I follow. Obviously, everybody you listen to is going to have it, it's going to be something similar, where they may have a different approach, where they say spiritual is something, a category of the life, where they, and that could be part of lifestyle. You know, it's all kind of, like I said, it'll be a different type of goal setting, a different approach. Somebody may have a more in-depth approach. For me, this is simple. It's easy to remember, easy to do. And it's just taking the time. So once a year, I'll just sit down and realign my goals. And if I, you know, hit that goal sooner, I need to adjust down the line during that year. I can, you know, obviously do that and change it. And, it's just my method. And it's, I think, can suit anybody if they really want to start and figure out what area of their life that they want to improve most. So that's really what I try to, convey to people, is they just need to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you're think like you're struggling to find yourself, you don't know what direction to head in, you know, you don't know really what you're doing. You're trying to find some focus or want to get on this personal development journey and find, you know, what suits your lifestyle most. That's just one method and a great way to just start down the path. And like I said, it'll trickle into all other areas of your life if you just start improving one. So,
right. Yeah. So once you have these goals, right, a lot of the achievement of those goals is going to be based a lot on your habits.
Right.
Okay. So I know you also have some tips on how to improve habits.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would highly recommend, and you know, I'll reference a lot of books because that's really what I do, is research people in all different areas of self-development and reference people to there. So I would say James Clear is an awesome resource.
Oh my gosh, Jacob, I this is so crazy. I just say maybe 75% of the guests I speak with.
Really?
This book comes up. Are you going to talk about Atomic Habits?
I was going to mention Atomic Habits. Yeah, it's just a fantastic resource. The thing that really connects with me most is if you're trying to build a new habit, whether it's building a new one or getting rid of an old bad habit like mm-hmm. smoking. You know, it's really an identity change. You know, you mm-hmm. if you want to get more fit, then you need to identify as that person so that each day you're going into the gym because you're, you know, a fit person. That's your lifestyle. If you want to quit smoking, you know, you need to engulf that mindset. So if somebody asks you to smoke, you say, no, I'm not a smoker, rather than, oh, I quit yesterday and I'm really trying not, you know, it's just a whole mm-hmm. different mindset change. And having that identity is really a big, big, big part of it. And there's so many other little tips and tricks that he has in that book, like for nutrition, if you're trying to improve habits with that, is if you have fruit, don't put it in the bottom of your fridge where you're never going to, you know, you're never going to see it. Leave it out in a bowl on the counter so that you walk by it every day and you're so much more likely to pick it up and eat. Another tip trick is somebody I wrote about, Dr. Kate Shanahan. Her advice is every time you go to the grocery store, if you're trying to change your eating habits, is one new thing every time you go in. So swap an unhealthy food item with a healthy food item and just keep doing that. And so all of a sudden, all the items in your cart turn into the healthier items. And, you know, it's just an easy way to adjust into that rather than thinking you need to change everything at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the gradual kind of first dip your toe in, then your foot, then yeah. Right, I think right. The biggest takeaway I got from Atomic Habits was the 2 minute idea, where you do yep. something, where you start a new habit with 2 minutes a day, right? Yep. So and then that fits. I think he mentions that fits into the whole identity, because you start to identify as someone who doesn't. So for example, if I want to start exercising daily, I would start with just 2 minutes a day, and I just started to identify as a person who exercises, right?
Right, right.
This is, yeah.
I think he even says, because he uses that example as well, he says, drive yourself to the gym, don't even go in at first, and then, right, you know, yeah. the week after that, go in for 10 minutes, and then come out, and just, you know, you're building that habit, and then all of a sudden you're saying, okay, I'm driving to the gym, why don't I just go in and yeah. start, you know, then you just start building that habit and start doing it yourself because you want to. And that's a huge, huge, huge thing with all motivational speakers, is it's really, there's so much that's just mindset and holding yourself accountable and realizing that nobody's gonna help you and nobody's gonna admire your accomplishments like you are. Nobody's going to, you know, pull you up and wake you up in the morning. You need to, you know, get up when your alarm goes off. It's all holding yourself accountable. And the more habits that you get to build each and every day, the more, you know, more successful you'll be in that area.
And so, the more confident you'll feel.
Yep. Confidence is a huge, huge, huge thing I talk about. I didn't want to delve into this yet. It's something I talk about most right now is confidence. That's really something that I focus on, you know, outside of what I learned from my books, is trying to assist people to get started. And something I like to ask people who are actually interviewing me is, what do you think the number one reason is that people don't go after lofty goals?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I think they feel the failure, or they fear failure.
Okay. Yeah. For me, I would say confidence. You know, people lack that confidence. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of it too, is, mm-hmm. you know, they tell themselves that they're never going to make it. And so they don't have the confidence to reach that goal because they never see that they're going to get there. And there's a lot of other things you could say, fear of the unknown. You know, yeah. they don't know if it's going to be worth the time, worth the money. And I can tell you, if you just get started, you get doing something, it's going to be worth it in the end. You gain skills, you gain good habits. You know, it like I said, trickles in, and I know I sound like a broken record, but it trickles in all other areas of your life. And it really is, you're never going to say it wasn't worth it for me to write that book or to, you know, reach to do that, run that marathon or something like that. You're always going to get some value out of doing that and to be able to look back on that accomplishment. How I relate this to people is, if they want to build confidence in any area of their life, I say you have to put in the reps to get there. So it's the REP. So you need to reflect, and then you need to educate yourself, mm-hmm. and then you need to put in the practice to get there. Mm-hmm. So, and I could talk about this for another whole half hour, but the reflection could be talking to somebody. It could be talking to a therapist if you need to see a therapist. It could be writing in a journal, you know, just to gain perspective and to realize what you need most improvement on, or to realign your focus. And then education, like I said, is that bit about books and podcasts, and the fact that you can really get to know the person behind the books now and really realize that they're just trying to give value to you. And there's so many resources nowadays. There's no reason, you know, no matter what you want to improve on, there's resources out there to help. And then you can reflect and you can educate yourself as much as you want. But until you put in the practice to get there, you're not going to be a better writer until you start writing. You're not going to be a better speaker until you start speaking. Mm-hmm. And so you need to put in the practice to get there. And this is kind of my strategy for if you want to build confidence in any area of your life to help boost your potential overall.
Mm-hmm. So then let's talk about how, your book, and how was that a lofty goal for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was something totally, I don't have any author friends. I don't have any, you know, I until I started doing podcasting, getting to know people in the space, it was out there for me. I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. Something I realized, I think the biggest takeaway that I had is self-publishing is such a contradicting word, because I think it really, if you're trying to develop a great book, and if you're just listening in, you can't see, but this is my book that I'm showing now, is Inspiring Leaders in Health and Fitness. And it really took a team to develop for the cover design. You know, I'm the writer, I'm the author. I don't, you know, there's people who spend their lives designing book covers, and there's a reason for that. And so I think it's important to, you know, find somebody who's going to give a quality book cover. And it's not about, you know, people think of marketing as just trying to sell, sell, sell. You're trying to give value to people. This book is literally just trying to give that value back to people. And the more readers I can get, the more impact I can have, the more, you know, contribution the book will have. So that's really what it's all about. So, you know, between editors, designers, there's so many people that worked with me on the book. And, you know, I had my beta readers, which are before I release it, any feedback they have on the book and creating that team. You know, there's books that I read just based on self-publishing and how to do it, you know, so I'm getting that education for myself so then I can, you know, put the best product out there that I can possibly do, because, you know, I have that meaning behind the book. It's not about money. It's not about anything like that. It's just finding the purpose in that. And the fact that if one person gets as much value from these people as I do, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. I really admire how you are your intention is to give value. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important to be clear on your intention when you're doing anything.
Oh yeah.
Because if your intention is not clear, you're going to be all over the place, and people can sense, people can really sense your true intention first, number one, right? And people can also sense very much when you're confused. Absolutely. So it's very important to be clear on that. And so when you were writing this book, and it seemed like you knew what it entailed, and you were doing all the things, like you were very aware of the book cover. I was just talking to someone last week, I think, and he's an investor, and he also he did some ghostwriting, and so now he has a company that does ghostwriting. And he was saying that working with writers, like one thing that they just overlook, don't really think about for self-publishing, particularly the book cover. Right. And he's like, the book cover is really important because, yes, people do judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the first thing people are going to see. They're scrolling through Amazon, or they see it in the store. If they don't like the book cover, if they see that somebody, you know, if it doesn't look professional, why would they want to pick your book over somebody else does look professional, who's covering the same topic? You know, you need to have something unique, and you need to, you know, the same thing goes with the book title. You need to, you know, do some work, and there's books on creating a good book title, or creating, you know, doing titles itself. There's so much that goes into it, and it's really a beautiful thing. I really love to, what I was learning and building that skill of writing, publishing, the whole process is really an incredible, incredible thing. And I saw people go through such an arduous process of trying to get with traditional publishing, and I didn't see myself going down that road. You know, I put the time in to write it. It took years just to write. I don't want to spend years looking for a publisher. I don't have time to just sit on my thumb. And, you know, there's just so much, that everybody nowadays is capable. If you wanted to just write 20 pages and post it on Amazon, you can do that. But I wanted to, like I said, give the best product that I could possibly give. So I put as much money into it as I could. And that's for the sole reason of, you know, I want this to reach as many people as possible so that I can give value to them. And it's an important way to see that. So yeah, you can't undermine the value of the title and the book cover if you're a writer, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like how you mentioned it took a few years. So how many years did it take for you to finish your book?
It was a couple of years of writing and, it's all kind of intermingled, right? Yeah. But a year and a half was really the writing process and developing the book. Mm-hmm. And then it took about 6 months to do the whole publishing process, to get the cover design done, to get the formatting done, and to really get it out there and get the beta readers and make sure that it's 100% complete. It's such a process outside of just writing and mm-hmm. having an editor and editing myself. So like I said, about a year and a half was the research writing process for myself, and then 6 months was the finalizing and publishing. And maybe it took a little longer because this was my first time doing it. Maybe I can, you know, cut it down to 4 months, but it's a process.
So. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't think I've ever finished, but I've started reading some self-help books where you could tell they just kind of slapped it together in like a month or something. And, you know, it was, that you actually took the time. And something else I've noticed just in this conversation, Jacob, is that you are very much into self-education. You read a lot. Mm-hmm. And you listen to, you know, I'm sure podcasts and audiobooks and all that. I actually really like audiobooks personally. You know what it is? As I age, my eyes, I'm going to need bifocals pretty soon. This is what my eye doctor told me. I'm going to need bifocals. And so it's really hard to you know, read print. So I use like the e-readers, because I could blow up the font size. But audiobooks are great because I can listen to them on my way to work. And there are so many of them now. And they're so interesting. So many great narrators. Do you have an audio version of your book?
I don't yet. I have somebody who said that they would work on it with me. Yeah. I'm just focused on so many other things. Like I'm still trying to, you know, marketing this book as well as writing the next one. And I have other things I'm writing too to, you know, help people with the confidence and boosting their potential and things like that, that I'm focused on outside of that. So the audiobook is not something I'm focused on at the time. But you know, maybe when the second book comes out, maybe I'll do both at the same time.
I think that would be a great idea. Because my go on.
I do have the Kindle version. So if you look on Amazon, I have the Kindle version as well as the hardcover version. So you can, you know, it right now, the day we're actually talking, it's actually free right now to get the ebook. And then the hardcover, so normally it's $8 for the Kindle and $25 for the hardcover. And the reason that it's expensive and $25 is the fact that, just to reiterate, I wanted the best product possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's amazing that the work, and I'm just proud of everybody who helped me with the book. And I felt the need to have it in hardcover. And I also have colored images, so everybody I wrote about, there's a nice portrait of, and so that's not a photo, that's an actual portrait, and it's just amazing work that I want to showcase. So I think it's, you know, if people like the ebook enough that they can, you know, buy the hardcover and keep a hardcover.
That's beautiful. I brought up audiobooks. I kind of got off track, but I brought that all up just because I started talking about how you really do take the time to like read and learn. Is this something that you start it before you even like started getting into the whole motivational thing? Were you a reader, a learner, or was it after you started listening to these motivational speakers that you really delved into actively reading all the time?
Yes. Yeah, so it's really something that I did when I was young. Mm-hmm. So when I was a child, I loved reading, and it was mainly like fantasy type stuff, Lord of the Rings and yeah. Magic Treehouse, stuff like that. And mm-hmm. obviously that's when I was really young. But I would read big books for myself, like going from Magic Treehouse to Lord of the Rings pretty quick. It was interesting. But you know, after listening to podcasts and listening to people in the motivation success space, that's what's, you know, it turned into listening to podcasts every day to realizing I need to get back into reading more because there's so much great information out there. And I really want to get to know more people in the personal development space. And it's just mm-hmm. an endless pool of resources to learn from. So I'm never going to get tired of, you know, my next book I'm focused on is Inspiring Leaders in Motivation and Success. So it'll be focused on people in the motivation and success space. And I'll be cycling back and forth between health and fitness and motivation and success to really cover all personal development.
That's great. Yeah. Cause for your book, you interviewed people, right?
I did not interview them myself. I just spent a few months at a time focused on each person.
Okay.
So read their books, listened to their podcasts and their conferences, all of that, mm-hmm. really got to know all of their information, reached out to them to try and get their input after I was done with their manuscript and get feedback from them. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's what developed all of it, was spending those few months of research. And then I spill it all out in 15 pages per expert that I study.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Thanks.
So we are kind of closing in on time here, Jacob, but I just want to give you a moment to, if you have like any closing words of encouragement for people who are like in this space of, I really want to just improve my habits, or I want to improve my health and I don't know where to start.
Sure. And it's really, the biggest thing I have to say is really just start somewhere. Like I said, look at the areas of your life and just start in one direction. And that's going to, you know, just help you in all areas. And a big realization that we need to have, along with the fact that we're all a work in progress, but quit being so stressed in life, you know, be willing to take in information, realize that the things that you're stressed about 9 times out of 10 are things that we can't change. Mm-hmm. So focus on the things you can change and the things you can do differently in your life and that you can improve on. And that's going to give your life a whole new meaning and just start, you know, a positive path for you. So mm-hmm.
tell us where we can find you, Jacob.
Sure. My book series website is my main website, and that is inspiringleaderscollective.com. So inspiringleaderscollective.com, and that is, yeah, my book series website where I'll share all my books. I also have a media page that has all my past interviews. You can find the link to my Amazon page. And for social media, I'm really most present on Facebook. So you can search at Inspiring Leaders Collective, and that's you can find my page, Jacob Craig, and you can follow me, and I share all my news there as well. Because I'm always working on other stuff. Like I said, I do have other short stories that I'm working on right now that are based on boosting your potential and confidence and things like that. And those are going to be ongoing series that I'm going to be releasing. The other one is I was doing a live stream where I would live stream my morning routine and share that with people. So I would go over a quote and discuss it and see other people's perspectives on it and really just talk through it with the live stream. And that's just a morning reflection. And I decided to change that and start writing it. So I'm going to have an ongoing series of every day. If people want to do a daily reflection, they can look. And, but yeah, if you want to learn more about that, just follow me on Facebook and I'll be releasing that soon.
Wow. Are the short stories fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction.
So they're based on people that you're talking to or you're researching?
No. So the confidence building is all my advice, what I was saying on the putting in the reps, the reflection, the education, practice, and then tips on goal setting. So I'm going to have a series just on that, and I've already written it. It just needs to get released, and it'll be an ongoing series too. So I'll add on to that. And then my other series, like I said, it's daily reflections. So I'll have a quote from somebody, and I'll either take it from a book I'm reading or from a website I like to follow called keepinspiring.me. And that's a website just of quotes from famous people and inspiring quotes from other authors, things like that. So I take a quote and reflect on it just to give people some positive perspective, some inspiration to start the day. So
sounds good. That's interesting. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jacob. This has been wonderful.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, Ebony. I love listening to your podcast and seeing the guests that you have on and learning from you. So thank you for what you're doing. And I just can't say how much I appreciate the opportunity. So
this was wonderful. I'm gonna stop recording, but I'm just gonna chat with you for a moment.
Okay.
Jacob is very inspiring, and the foundation of his success really lies in his passion for research, and he collects a lot of data, a lot of books, a lot of information, and is willing to share the information that he has learned. He has a very, I think I mentioned it in the interview, that he's very clear on he set the intention to bring value to people's lives, and that's really what makes him quite effective. So if you want to learn more about Jacob and what he has to offer, learn more about his books. I'm sorry, my laptop is like super loud. I think it's really hot. please visit his website. There's a link to his website in the show notes. And yeah, reach out to him and learn from him, because he has a lot of knowledge and it's very wise. In the meantime, you can also follow me on Twitter at Ebony Haywood. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Motivation to Write. And you can sign up for my newsletter at zazo.com. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.